Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again. Believe in a power greater than what you are going through. When you don't know what to do, keep breathing.
That's right, when you don't know what to do, just keep on breathing. From the City of Angels in Los Angeles, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, at caregiverdave.com, along with my lovely co-host, former mayor, and I should say future mayor of a California beach town, and best-selling author of Debbie, her name is Debbie Peterson. Coming to you live and on demand 24-7 on numerous syndicated radio and podcast networks, on 26 global audio and video platforms like iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo. The list is way too long. In fact, we are proud to be voted number one caregiver podcast on FeedSpot out of thousands and number one caregiver podcast on Player FM for the top 50. And we have an especially exciting show planned for you today, one that we were not expecting because we had a no-show, miscommunication and timing, I hope. But this is a good friend of mine. His name is Henry Gutierrez, and he's very gifted. He's very special, and that's why he's a friend of mine, because people like that don't grow on trees. And when you come across them, you want to hang on to them because they encourage you and they show you things that you never would have seen otherwise. But before we get to that, I would just want to take this time and thank my last week's guest. Got to enunciate my words carefully here. I'm like, I got marbles in my mouth. Gail Hamilton, an acclaimed international motivational speaker, trainer, blindness education, prolific author, soaring into greatness, a blind woman's vision to live her dreams and fly, relays Gail's story of perseverance and passion. And just a reminder, you can watch or listen to that interview and all our interviews on our membership website, caregiverdave.com, or any of our other 26 global networks that I mentioned earlier. Okay, enough of that. Henry, welcome to the Caregiver Dave Show. We are so excited to have you on. I know what you're thinking, that you're not worthy to be on this show. Because you're such a humble person. But I always like to ask my guests the first question, just who is Henry Gutierrez and why was he placed on this earth? Go ahead, take it.
You know, first and foremost, I think I'm called to serve, really. I didn't know that in the beginning. However, to be a servant, and I didn't realize that until my dad's funeral. I just didn't want to sit. I felt led to get up and just be comforting. I didn't want to be a pest to everybody, but I just wanted to just even touch him on the shoulder and somehow be encouraging. And just recently my mom passed away, and I was doing the same thing, and I didn't plan that. I wasn't expecting that. But yes. I have seven sisters, four older brothers, and all my sisters said, okay, you're going to go up there and you're going to say this. I said, well, are you going to say something? I remember my mom's funeral last year. And all my sisters said, no, that's why you're here. You're going to say something. And I didn't. You know, I didn't expect that either, didn't plan that. However, the aftermath after, you know, days and weeks later, I got calls from my nieces and uncle, you know, different family members. And it was just, regardless of how I felt, or not wanting to feel or not wanting to say a word, it was a confirmation that I was able to help, really.
And make sure you talk loudly into the bottom of that phone, Henry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, everything you said, I agree with, and you are absolutely right. You are gifted, and you are a servant, and everybody wants to be Henry's friend. I mean, you know, that's that movie. It's not a movie, but it's a series. Everybody loves Raymond. Well, everybody loves Henry. I mean,
I never saw that.
Henry's phone list has he's got like more friends than you, me, and the whole football team combined.
Oh, wow.
Everybody who meets him just wants to be their friend because he's such a servant and he's so helpful. And if you need him, he's there, you know? And he's been going, so he had a automobile accident, work-related, lately. And so he's in a lot of pain. He's seeing doctors and lawyers and all that stuff. He's not able to work and it's driving him crazy. And you know, he's getting a little pooch on him and that's driving him crazy because normally, you know, he's in great shape and he works hard and anyone who is his boss, you know, won't let him go and give him raises because there's nobody like him at all. And now he's kind of feeling helpless. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but tell us what you've been going through for the last, I don't know, 3 months.
Right. I think more than anything, yeah, the physical part, I'm not used to not getting up and wanting to, you know, do something, I guess. Of course, yeah, you're right. I gained weight. I used to eat 3 double-doubles, no problem, you know. But now I feel like I want to eat 3 double-doubles and I'm able to. But, you know, you work hard and, right, work like a horse. Eat like a horse. That's what the boss would always say. But anyways, it's kind of, I'm not depressed, but it's sad. It makes me sad sometimes, you know.
Well, you're a man of faith, though, aren't you? How is your faith getting you through this tough time? Because sometimes we ask God, why is this happening? I mean, you know, I feel so useless.
Oh, yes, yes. My daughter mentioned that. It's not happened. It's not what happens. That famous cliche, not what happens to you, but what happens in you. And she says, Dad, this is happening for you. You need to just relax. You've been working for many years, just construction job, and you're beating yourself up. Maybe could it be that this is a sign, really? The day of the accident was 1 year anniversary of my wife passing. And I know, you know, people say coincidence, but for me, it was loud and clear. Even when that happened, I was not surprised. Yeah, surprised. I went in awe and just listening to her words, really. She didn't really like this kind of work I did.
Debbie, you got any questions for Henry from what you've heard so far?
Well, I love the way that you talk about, it's kind of like God just gives you something to do and you do it and you know God's giving it to you to do and it just comes. And that is a rare gift and a rare thing. It sounds a little bit like the Moses story. You know, you didn't ask for this and you got it. So that's not really a question, but it's interesting how God talks through us sometimes without it just happens like that.
Wow, yes. Somebody recently just said that very thing about Moses, and they were saying some details about the story, and I never read it. And I said, I saw the Ten Commandments. They go, no,
yeah.
It's not the movie. It's the scripture. I don't have the words. So I'm not able to say this. And it was at my another funeral friend of mine, you know? And, it's just a reoccurrence about Moses, and that's terrible. I apologize. I should know better. I should have read the story, really.
Well, and Moses was the most humble man that ever lived.
Well,
you know, I do have a question.
Again?
I have a question, and it's one that's been eating at me recently. I have a close friend who died, and I'm her executor, and so I've been extremely busy working full-time and taking care of her estate and running for the office of mayor and all kinds of stuff. And I find going to funerals difficult. I guess all of us do, but I tend to be kind of depressed afterwards and I have trouble getting back into the rest of my life afterwards. And I really don't like going to them. I love the people. I love remembering them, and I want to support people. And I find myself wondering, you know, as we age, we end up going to more and more and more. But I guess my question about that is, well, how do you do that? How do you do it?
You know, first and foremost, I believe, even before I even go, I have to pray, really. I have to go off to the side and ask, you know. I don't want to put my foot in my mouth, or not that I'm going to say anything, but sure enough, it seems like that when my brother passed, my sister said, "You're going to get up there." I go, "But I don't even like my brother, you know." I'm sorry. He was mean to me. But the prayer, and it's terrible to say that. I really, every time I hear his name, I would say something to myself, and how he treated me and what he did. And I would say to myself, I don't like what he did. I don't like how he is. I don't like the person he is. So I remember just in his funeral, I had to pray. I go, "God, I don't want to say the wrong thing. And I don't know, maybe I'm not going to say a word." But sure enough, it happened. My brother, actually, my sister called and said, "Your brother's dying. You need to call him." And I normally don't call him. I just see him at family get-togethers or birthdays. But this particular time, they knew he was dying, and I called him, and I said, "I'll go down there and see you." He said, "I don't want to see you. I don't want to see anybody because of his condition, really." And I said, "I'll call the kids. Let me call your kids." He said, "No, I don't want them to see me either. I want you to take care of all this." And I know it's, we don't have time, but long story short, he asked me to take care of these matters, and he didn't want to be resuscitated. He didn't want, he just wanted to just pass. He mentioned this to me. So sure enough, when he was in the hospital, they said he doesn't have a, he's not going to make it through the night. Doctors came in. They said, who is Henry? Who's the brother? They all came to me. And you know, we have a big family, and some of my family members really objected. They came up to me and said some things in front of the doctors. And they said, "Look, we're not going to call the kids because this is your brother's wishes. And Henry's, you know, we're not going to resuscitate because he left. If we call the kids, it's going to change everything." And they looked at me and asked me, "Do you want to call a kid?" I said, "No, this is my brother's wishes. It was very difficult. So I didn't call them. I'm not emphasizing the prayer enough. But sure enough, my brother passed. Actually, he lived 3 more days. And after he passed, my other brother came up to me and says, "Now you're going to call his kids." And again, I was all alone. And I looked up and I said, "God, my Lord, how am I going to say this to the kids?" He has 2 daughters and a son. And
that's hard.
Well, my sister called. Anyways, sure enough, they gave me his cell phone and his phone book. And all the kids' numbers had been changed for some reason or another. Anyways, by the time I got to my knees, he was crying. I couldn't even make out what she was saying. My niece was just crying and crying. I said, "Hon, I haven't told you what I wanted to say." She goes, "No, I'm sorry, Uncle. I haven't. We don't have your number. We don't have Grandma's number." Their mom had just passed the previous week.
So both their mom and their dad passed.
Yes, and she was so heartbroken that her mom had passed. And then I said, "Oh my goodness, I'm floored, right?" And I'm looking up. He said, "What is it?" And I said, "Your dad passed." And she says, "Oh, they're together now. They're together." It's almost like God diffused this thing, overwhelming mountain that I thought. And it was just so beautiful, really, how she said that, and how, you know, part of me wanted to call my brother and say, "You see, look what happened." No. I didn't say that. I thought that. But more than anything, I'm reminded at these funerals. Like, we're going to a funeral this Thursday, a friend of mine, 55 years old, had a heart attack. Since then, the whole, really, it's just a reminder to me that, you know, we're just passing through. This life is light and momentary, right? There is a better place. There is. They're in peace, and we are in pain. And that's what I have to hold on to, really. Just the fact that we're not invincible. Well, in this life. Yeah. My mom would say, we live two lives. The one we the one you learn with and the one you live with after that. Well, then later on she added, well, there's an eternal life because there is a beyond that we don't really talk much about.
You know, our audience are caregivers, and it was so funny. I tell you, when I asked you to come on the show, you said, well, I'm not a caregiver. I always talk about all those who don't think they're caregivers, but they really are. Henry's a caregiver to the world. I mean, every friend of Henry, Henry has cared for them emotionally, mentally, spiritually, sometimes financially. And you have any advice for caregivers who are going through, you know, the stuff that caregivers go through? I mean, my wife, since she broke her leg, she's basically an invalid now. Before, she was very independent. She could transfer herself. You know, we travel a lot. And for 3 months, it's been a month now, so 2 more months, hopefully, she'll get to be independent again. But in the meantime, you know, I'm helping her toilet with the Hoyer lift, and I am exhausted. And I had to finally take a break. 2 days ago, I went sailing for the whole day, got my daughter to cover, you know, for me in between the toiletries and stuff like that. And I'm always tired, and I realized how lucky I had it made for the last 27 years, because even though I'm a caregiver, my wife's very independent, even though she's paralyzed on one side and can't speak. But she makes up for it. She's more normal than a lot of normal people. But now my job has become 100 times harder. And so what do you say to the caregivers who are just feeling like they're at the end of their rope, wondering, is this ever going to end? Get depressed. I don't get depressed, but I've been tempted to, but because I know it's temporary, and I know that God helps me get through the day. What's your thoughts on that, Henry, to other caregivers who are maybe struggling like you are?
Well, I love what you just said, Dave. You asked for help. You did, whether you asked your daughter, you needed to get away. And you needed to, we don't want to do that. We don't want to ask for help. We don't want to, Dave, you helped me so many times. And there's times where I just feel lousy, because, you know, I mean, there's times when we need to ask. There's no shame in it. We need to get out of our own way, I guess, and just say, you know what, I need some help here. And it's humbling. It is difficult. I know. But also, the times I find myself exhausted, I'm trying to lean on my own. We cannot do it on our own. I believe more than anything, what that old proverb, the spirit, the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. Only until then we rely on and yield to what he has for us, the spirit of the Lord. He gives us things. He does. And you don't have to take my word for it. That's the only way I could wake up today and breathe. Every waking moment, I'm grateful.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, Henry, at the last minute. I know you're not feeling well and you're recovering. You've got, you know, under doctor's care because you had an automobile accident on the job, and you're just not used to being, you know, laid up. Thank you for coming on the show. And again, a reminder that all our live shows become recorded pod and video casts on all our platforms that I mentioned before, like YouTube and Blog Talk Radio and Podbean and many others. And also my membership website, caregiverdave.com, a free membership support community, lots of free gifts and resources, free 1 hour coaching session. Debbie, tell us how people can get a hold of you and the amazing work you're doing. You're running for mayor again. You're pulling a Donald Trump in the small city of, what's that city, that coastal city you live in?
Grover Beach.
I got to visit that place sometime. Tell us,
yeah,
people get a hold of you and the books you've written, and you're running for mayor. If you know anybody in Grover Beach, I tell you, this is the person to vote for.
Thank you, Dave. I'm going to excerpt that. I'm going to put you on my mayordebbie.com website. And that's how people reach me. And my books are all available, the Integrity 101 series on Amazon by Debbie Peterson. And they're a good read. The first one is The Happiest Corruption, Sleaze, Lies, and Suicide in a California Beach Town. And that's a story of how, really how God called a lot of people to demand integrity and honesty and accountability in their local government. That's been our mission.
If ever it's been needed, it's certainly needed now. People don't realize that you were mayor and you exposed a lot of corrupt people, put a lot of people in jail. You made a lot of enemies and you were done with your term and you thought it was all over until you realized that there's still some corruption there. And people says, well, why don't you run again? There's no one more qualified than you. And I guess you had to agree with them, right?
Thank you. Yeah, that is what happened. What I discovered was that I was naive to think that just because one or two people got, well, more than that, got convicted and went to jail or were exposed or were investigated just because of that, that wasn't going to fix it. The only thing that would fix it would be putting in good leadership that was serving the community rather than serving themselves. So I had a lesson to learn there too.
Well, yeah, Ben Franklin said, evil men rule when good men do nothing. And the Bible says that if a man
he's right.
And if a man has seven demons and you cast them out, they're going to look for some place to go. And if you don't replace those seven demons with positive, godly, angelic things, then they're just going to come back. You're going to be seven times worse off than you were. So, yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, let me continue. Please click the like or follow button, whatever platform you're watching or listening to this on. Helps us reach even more caregivers by improving Google's search engine algorithms. And all my listeners out there, thank you again for tuning in each and every week, making us the number one caregiver podcast on the internet. So until next week, same time, may God richly bless you. Bye-bye. Thank you so much, Henry, for coming on the show. And thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm Dave Nassani. My fourth book, Secrets from the Hammock, Uncommon Wisdom for Uncommon Times, is a number one bestseller on Amazon. As a young boy, I was told I possessed an unusual amount of wisdom for my age. As a young man, I found myself counseling friends and older family members whenever they needed answers to their problems. Then at 21, I read the Bible for the very first time and learned how King Solomon asked God for wisdom instead of riches, yet he received both. I was so impressed that I too asked God for wisdom. Soon after, I discovered when lying on my hammock, I would receive wisdom from God. This book is the result of my passion to share with the world wisdom's tremendous benefits. Join me as I reveal practical aspects of wisdom for the mind, body, and spirit. 31 lessons I learned from God that can change your life. Available in hardcover, Audible, Kindle, and paperback, wherever books are sold. I've spoken all over the country and London, and am available to speak at your event. Contact me at hammockwisdom.com.
Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing.